This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I welcome you all here this morning. It is the ninth, or this evening, this afternoon. It is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. For those watching at home, we'll be using Divine Service 4 out of the Lutheran Service Book and hymn number 602, 642, 956, 507, 641, and 633. Well, Father, our service received on the way in, beginning on page 3 of Confession and Absolution. Father, I'd like to share your peace at the processional day. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made the heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness.
Therefore, you are here. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and receive the confession of sin.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Thank you. when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go into the villages to buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message.
Continuing to serve him on Living Bread from Heaven on page 8. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Think of a time that you have felt overwhelmed when you faced a task that was just so big, so intimidating. Pretty sure this is the feeling a child gets when he's told he needs to clean his room. Moving does it for me. Moving from one house to another, it just gives me the feeling of being overwhelmed. There was a time that Jeanette and I were moving about every 2 years or so, and it's just overwhelming to think about getting everything packed up and loaded in the truck and then unloaded at the other end. Facing a move, I felt overwhelmed by everything that had to be done. But as with most of life's overwhelming tasks, it gets accomplished one step at a time. Although I have to say, after you all moving me here and coming to Hamilton, it's been nice to stay put for 19 years, although now we're helping the kids move. There is the feeling of being overwhelmed. But then there is the feeling of facing the impossible. Not just a big overwhelming task that can be overcome bit by bit, but the impossible. That's where Jesus has the disciples in our gospel reading today with six impossible words. You give them something to eat. These words by themselves are not necessarily impossible, depending on the context. If you're sitting with two siblings and you have a whole pizza and they have none and they're complaining about being hungry, my mom might say, you give them something to eat and it's no big deal. You shouldn't eat the whole pizza anyway. But the disciples are surrounded by thousands of hungry people, and the 12 disciples have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's not even enough for themselves. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. It's impossible. It cannot be done. What are they supposed to do? Imagine yourself standing there with the disciples looking out at a sea of thousands and thousands of faces and knowing that you are supposed to feed them. It's hopeless. It's impossible. And this is the culmination of a very bad time for Jesus and the disciples. The voice of one calling in the wilderness has been silenced. John the Baptist, the prophet who heralded Jesus' arrival, prepared the way for him, baptized him in the Jordan River, is beheaded by Herod Antipas because of a drunken promise at a party. Not only was John killed, but his head was brought to the party on a platter in a final humiliation. It has been a bad time for Jesus and his disciples. They try to take a break. They go by boat to a desolate place to grieve in peace, but the crowds follow them on land and get to the place before them. But instead of getting angry, Jesus had compassion on them and healed their sick. And now it's been a terribly long day, and Jesus and the disciples still have not gotten a chance to grieve. The disciples are ready to send the people away and be done. But Jesus gives them the impossible task of feeding all these thousands of people. I've got to imagine that the disciples are ready to quit. They must just want to ignore the hungry crowd, get back in the boat, and sail away because they face an impossible task. They cannot do it. But Jesus can. And Jesus has compassion on the people. He had already healed the sick. Now he's going to feed them all. Jesus can heal the sick and feed the hungry with just his words. He can do it because Jesus is not just a teacher or a prophet. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in flesh. He tells the disciples to bring him the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He orders all the people to sit down in the grass, and then he looks up to heaven and blesses the food. He breaks the loaves and gives it to the disciples, and the disciples start handing out the food, and they keep handing out the food. They hand out bread and fish to all of the thousands of people. How long would it take for 12 people to distribute food to 5,000 plus people? The disciples do not run out of bread and fish until everyone has eaten and is satisfied. Jesus has done the impossible through the disciples. And to top it all off, they collect 12 baskets full of leftovers. With the disciples facing the impossible, Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, in his compassion, provides. And he provides in abundance. In life, you will face many overwhelming things. This whole pandemic and its effects are pretty overwhelming, and looking at how to reopen schools is overwhelming, raising children is overwhelming. You face many overwhelming things, but there is one thing you face that is impossible. You are a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death in hell. You are a sinner, and you cannot change that. As hard as you try to stop sinning, you can't do it. All you have to do, really, is to perfectly love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all. But you cannot do it. It's impossible. You cannot stop being a sinner. Jesus does the impossible. Jesus has compassion on you. Jesus loves you, and with his words, "I forgive you all your sins," he declares you to be sinless. He pours out forgiveness upon you in abundance with his word, with the waters of holy baptism, with his own body and blood in holy communion. He forgives you to overflowing. Jesus pours out his love and forgiveness on you, and it fills you. He fills your cup to the brim, and then his love and forgiveness overflow to those around you in your love and forgiveness of others. In his miracles, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus shows that he is the Son of God, God in flesh. As John the Baptist declared, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' sacrifice on the altar of the cross is enough to pay for your sins. His suffering and death is credited to you. His resurrection is your resurrection, as you are born again in water and the Spirit, and you will be raised from the dead on the last day. In this life, you will be assaulted by temptation and sin and by the devil himself, trying to convince you that you must do it on your own, all the time knowing that you cannot. He will tempt you to despair. He will tempt you to give up when faced with difficulties. But you are not alone. You have the armor of God. You are covered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has done the impossible. He declares you to be righteous, innocent, and blessed. And if Jesus says it, it is true, because Jesus is the truth. There are many things in life that are overwhelming. And as we starkly learn from the death of John the Baptist, being a Christian is no guarantee of an easy life. Jesus never promises to make this life easy, but he does promise to be with you, to never leave you or forsake you. He promises you eternal life with him. Jesus is God. He does the impossible. From nothing, he speaks the world into existence. He speaks water into wine. He speaks sight to the blind. He speaks life to the dead. He speaks 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed thousands. He speaks you from darkness to light, from sinner to sinless saint in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does the impossible. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostle of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In our prayers today, Brother Sheila Barbary battling brain cancer. Kim Williams' brother Scott Barrett has bone cancer. Dolores Bowman's son Brian awaiting shoulder surgery. A prayer of thanksgiving for Lucas and Violet Wise, the great grandchildren of Pastor Jane Camps. They were born this last week, small but doing well. We pray for Virginia Elrod, who entered hospice care late last night and is not doing well. For Nancy Hedrick, a cousin of Ruth Selmayr, who's been diagnosed with MS. For Ruth Selmayr's daughter Deanna Hughes, having liver problems. For Michaela Baden's friend Trenton, who suffered brain bleeding and has been hospitalized with UC. For Joy Baden's friend Danita, who suffered from heart issues. And for Mary Lou Sandler, who suffered from eye problems. Lord, you have bidden us to come without money to receive grace beyond price. Hear us as we heed your call and turn to you in prayer, confident of your promise to hear and answer. Father, we have sought meaning, comfort, and sustenance from all the wrong places. Grant us, your Holy Spirit, that our hearts may be turned to your word, that we may hunger for your Son's body and blood, that we may discern truth from error. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we give you thanks that you have blessed us beyond what we deserve and given to us your church. Guard our life by your Spirit and strengthen our witness before the nations. Bless all pastors and church workers in their service to us in your name. And bless those now considering and preparing for church work vocations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Father, we too quickly focus on what we lack and not upon your unlimited grace. Bless all relief agencies and services of your church on behalf of the hungry, the homeless, the hurting, and those who have lost hope. Bless those visited by disaster and tragedy and open our hearts to help them recover from their loss. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we are daily blessed to know abundance and freedom. Bless those who defend us from our enemies, who serve us in government, and who protect us in our communities. Be with our president, Congress, our governor, and our judges and magistrates, that they may discern the right path and lead us with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we suffer with all manner of ills and afflictions. Hear us and grant to us healing according to your will. Strength in the time of trial and peace at last. We pray especially for Sheila, Scott, Brian, Lucas, and Violet, Virginia, Nancy, Deanna, Trenton, Vanita, and Mary Lou, and those named in our hearts. Good Lord, deliver us and teach us to depend upon your grace in all things. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we know your steadfast love and mercy are forever, but our faith is daily tested and tempted. Give us strength and endurance that we may not despair, but have confidence in your sufficient grace. Guide us to seek our consolation in your word and sacraments, and prepare us to receive the Lord's body and blood in this holy communion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we ask you to grant to us all things needful and to keep from us all things harmful to us and to our salvation. For we trust your wisdom and your love. Teach us to pray without fear, your will be done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has promised. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Thank you.
preserve you in true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.